This is WSIU in Focus. I'm Jennifer Fuller. Legal experts are continuing their analysis of President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration and travel issued late last week. One SIU law professor says the order may continue to cause problems for the United States even after its self-imposed deadlines expire later this year. Cindy Bai's expertise is in constitutional and international law. Her research focuses on treaty law and refugee law.
Presidents have always exercised discretion with respect to where they want to put their enforcement priorities in terms of deporting people who are not here lawfully. President Obama's order went a step further, though, and it not only said, okay, we're going to prioritize certain cases and we're not going to worry about deporting others, but then it went further and it granted work permits and that sort of thing. And I think that's where he stepped into new ground. And I see President Trump's order going even further, you know, with some of the things that he's doing. Now, he, as the president, clearly has the power to decide how many refugees we admit. That is a statutory power that he's given by Congress. But Congress also contemplates that we are going to be admitting refugees. You know, it says, okay, you president, get to set the annual number of refugees that we admit. But that assumes that there's going to be some, right? And right now, we have a suspension for 120 days of no refugees.
Bies says there has been an increase in executive orders on immigration and other matters for many years now. She blames increased partisanship and a lack of action from Congress for the uptick.
I, for one, would really like to see Congress step up. And Congress certainly can rewrite the immigration statute or any other statute to provide more direction to the president as to what discretion the president should have and where the president's power should be more constrained.
But this particular order may have ramifications even outside the United States. Bies says targeting entire countries, as Trump's order does, and singling out a particular religious group both run contrary to international treaties, particularly the Refugee Convention of 1951.
And that convention very clearly says that in doing refugee admissions, states get to choose who they want to admit, but they are not supposed to discriminate on the grounds of nationality or religion. And if states claim that they can't take a refugee because of national security grounds, that's also their prerogative, but the convention requires an individualized determination, not a group-wide determination.
Meaning other nations could bring lawsuits against President Trump's order in international court. Bies says it wouldn't be the first time policies here have landed the United States before the International Court of Justice.
And we have kind of a mixed record at the ICJ. So sometimes it's been an effective forum for us and sometimes not. We've been found in violation of international obligations before. Sometimes we've complied with those judgments, sometimes we have not.
It's not just on the international stage that Bies says the immigration and travel order faces challenge. Lawsuits are being filed across the United States against the ban, and Bies says the U.S. Immigration and Nationality Act specifically prohibits discrimination based on nationality.
President Trump is relying on another section of that same statute, Section 212F, which gives the president the discretion, if he believes that someone is a national security threat, to deny that person a visa. And that section actually says you can deny a person or a class of persons a visa. Now, I think to read the two sections consistently, the courts could say, yes, you can deny visas to persons who are national security threats, but you can't do it on such a broad level, right? You can't just say an entire country is a national security threat and deny everyone from that country a visa, no matter what their individual circumstances. That would be a way that the court could read those two statutory provisions consistently.
Beyond the international and domestic legal issues, though, is the human side of the order. Professor Bies also counsels people seeking refugee status, as well as legal residents hoping to bring their families to the United States. She says the uncertainty they faced before is being compounded now.
You have lots of people here, as you identified, who are citizens or who are lawful permanent residents who have family who are coming in to join them. And those people who are already here have rights to live with their family, you know, to be with their spouse, that kind of thing. And I think that's where some of these constitutional challenges may occur. Can the government separate families without looking at individual circumstances, without showing that this individual is somehow dangerous to the United States? I think that's a problem.
A problem Bies says could last for quite a while, even beyond the self-imposed deadlines in the current executive order.
I think that there have been some statements by the by President Trump himself and his administration that this is really a period of time to do an examination, and that it's very possible that some of these provisions could be in place longer, could be even broadened to other countries. I've seen statements like that in the news. So even if this initial 90-day period ends, I don't think that's going to be the end of this issue, and I suspect that those cases will continue.
And so for now, Bai's clients are staying put and hoping for the best.
I have given them the advice that they should not leave the country, and they weren't planning to go back to Iraq anyway. They are afraid to go home. That's why they're applying for asylum here. But to the extent that, for example, they might want to go to a conference in Canada, you know, I've told them this is not a good idea right now, because they could be denied reentry and, you know, being able to come back here to SIU. So they are essentially, you know, stuck here for a time being, and we'll see how long that is.
For WSIU In Focus, I'm Jennifer Fuller.